Turn back again tonight to the third chapter of Mark's Gospel. I read verses 7 through 12. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard what great things he did, came to him. A great multitude, when they heard what great things he did, came to him. And he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he had healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed upon him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." And he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. In these few verses, we have quite an extraordinary account of people hearing about Jesus and coming to him. And of course, it raises questions for us to ponder. Hearing all that they did about Jesus, hearing all that he did, they came to him. You know, we hear everything almost instantly now. We forget that it hasn't always been that way. I was reminded this morning that the Battle of New Orleans was fought after the war was over. I was reminded of that when Michael told about his hiking trip this past week. He went down in Baldwin County, and the last battle fought in the Civil War, in Alabama anyway, was fought in Baldwin County, and it was fought after the war was over. Nobody had been able to hear it. No way to get communication. Less than 200 years ago, battles were still fought after the war was over because there's no way to let people know. And it's amazing, the very fact that people listed here heard of the things that Jesus was doing. They came from all over Galilee. Many made the 100-mile journey from Jerusalem to Judea to see and listen to him. They came from Idumea in the deep south between Palestine and Arabia. They came from the east side of the Jordan and from foreign territory. Tyre and Sidon lie on the Mediterranean coast, northwest of Galilee. Think about it. They heard of Jesus in this vast territory, and there were no telephones, no television, no email, no radio, no newspapers to report about what he was doing. People came into contact with Jesus, and miraculous things happened in their lives, and they went, and wherever they went, they told of him in such a way. They didn't just tell of him, but they told him with such enthusiasm, with such zeal, with such conviction, that other people wanted to see this man, to hear of him. So they came from this vast area. They came, we can assume, mostly on foot. Some may be riding a donkey, very wealthy among them may be on horseback. They made the journey that took not hours, but days, weeks, maybe even a month. They came at whatever the cost to see and hear this Jesus. Hearing all that he did, they came to him. Why did people spread the news? Why did people make such an effort to come to Jesus? Because of what he did. This was what people went out to tell abroad. Jesus did things for them and others that were too wondrous to keep for themselves, and it had to be shared. They had to tell what great things the Lord had done for them. This was the magnet that drew people to Jesus. People had miraculous things happen, and wherever they went, they told the story, and others came seeking this Jesus. These that had been set free by him had to tell others, and they told in such a convincing way that other people had to go and see for themselves, and so they came. That's another place in the scriptures, doesn't exactly relate to this, but same kind of thing. Fourth chapter of John's Gospel, you find a most unlikely missionary or witness for the Lord, if you would. You remember Jesus and the disciples had to go through Samaria, and they came to Sychar, the city. They came to Jacob's Well, which was a half mile out of the city. And Jesus was tired and he was thirsty, and so he sat there by the well, and his disciples went on to the city to buy supplies. And while he was sitting there, a woman came out. Now, we can't quite comprehend this in our day, but a Jewish rabbi would not speak to a woman on the street, not even a family member. It would dishonor him. It would cause trouble for him. But this woman from Samaria came out. And Jesus not only spoke to her, but he asked her for a drink of water. And she was astounded, first, that he'd even spoken to her. Second, that he, a Jew, would speak to her, a Samaritan. For the Jews had been quarreling with the Samaritans for 400 years. They had nothing to do with them. Jesus spoke to her, a Samaritan woman, and he asked for something from her. And she asked, how is it you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan? And you remember the story. Jesus talked to her about living water. She talked about the place to worship God. Jesus told her to go and get a husband, bring him out. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, how true, you've had five husbands. The man you're living with is not your husband. That's probably the reason she was coming out to the well there in the middle of the day. There were wells inside the city, but she probably was an outcast of the ladies of the community. And while they went to the well there in the community early in the day to draw water, she came outside of the city a half mile in the heat of the day where no one would be there. A woman of questionable character at least. You could almost say she was anybody's playmate. But she talked with Jesus, and something happened. When the disciples return from the city, they are astounded that Jesus is talking with this woman. And she runs back to the city. She leaves her water pot, a valuable possession. She didn't have time to be encumbered with that. And you can almost be assured she's going to come back to see this man again. She runs back to the city, and this woman with questionable character, questionable standing in the community, this woman runs through the city, and there is such a dramatic difference in her that the men of the city follow her out to see Jesus. And many of them believed because of her testimony. Something so wonderful happened that it compelled her to go tell others. And something so wonderful happened that the people could see the difference in the woman. And out of curiosity, they went to see what she was telling them about. People had to share the news. It was too wonderful to keep. Hearing all that he did, they came to him. I'd like for you to think a little bit tonight. How did you hear about Jesus? I doubt if any of you here can remember how you first heard about Jesus. But surely you remember some of those who had an influence upon your life in turning you to Him. Maybe for most of us, our parents, our siblings, had the greatest influence on our coming to know Jesus as Savior. Perhaps in your home, you were taught Bible verses, you were taught to pray. You became used early on in life to hearing people thank God before their meals. In your home, you learned about Jesus because of the testimony of those that you loved, and you came to accept Him as Savior. I thank God tonight that I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't know about Jesus. I have a great heritage. You do too. I was born in a Christian home. I can remember so well going to my grandparents at Christmas time, and we'd gather around the open fireplace after supper, and some of the grandchildren would read a passage of Scripture, and then we'd all kneel and Granddaddy would lead us in prayer. My great-grandfather committed me to the Lord in baptism when I was about 18 months old. You know, I go on as far as I know, and I have a great heritage. I tell people I was a Methodist 150 years before I was born. We have a great heritage from family. In addition to your parents, or maybe the primary influence of your learning about Jesus was a Sunday school teacher or friend. I've told you before, the earliest memory of my life has been in Sunday school. A lady was properly named. She was named Pearl. She was a pearl. And she's taught us about Jesus and about singing about love for Jesus. My next Sunday school teacher that I really remember is her sister. And she's the one that challenged us to come to Sunday school regularly and got me into a habit that I've never been able to get out of. Sunday school teachers, others, friends, preachers, neighbors, no doubt influenced you to trust Jesus. Do you remember tonight? Have you thanked the people that first taught you about Jesus? Or if it's too late to thank them, have you at least thanked God? For people, because of their love for you and your love for them and their love for Jesus, you came to love Him too. And I must ask this question tonight. Today, are people hearing about Jesus and what He's doing from you? Are people hearing about Jesus and what He's doing from you? When did you last share with someone what Jesus was doing in your life? What He has done, what He is doing? Have you told your children, your friends, and those who evidence no knowledge of Jesus? I hope it's not true that nothing has happened in your life that makes a difference worth sharing. The most powerful advertisement is always someone telling of what has happened to them. The most powerful pull in the world comes from lives lived in which something real and tremendous has happened. Lives empowered and transformed and strengthened, and comes from acts of expressing something of what Jesus has done for you and the sympathy and the love of Jesus for all who are weary and heavy laden. How long has it been since you shared with anyone what Jesus means to you? Have you been forgiven? Have you been made whole in body, mind, and spirit? Has your life been changed? Has joy displaced bitterness? Has perfect love cast out fear and hate? Does your life possess real meaning and purpose for you because of what Jesus has done and is doing in your life? Do you know meaning and purpose and vitality and joy because of what He's done and because of His abiding Spirit's presence with you? And if something like this has happened to you, how can you not share it with people who don't know about it? You must tell it. And people hearing what Jesus is doing in this day will be drawn to Him just as they were in that far off day. They'll come with their problems, with their needs, with their sin, with their emptiness, if they hear from you and from me. And in your life, they see the evidence that Jesus can meet real needs and make a difference. A few of you know that on Sunday morning, a few of the ladies, people and ministerial crew joined for a time of prayer. And Michael, in his prayer this morning, prayed something to the effect that we would meet those who came our way in such a way that they would come to know the transforming power of the gospel. And I thought that was good. But he went on to say that we would go out to those who do not come our way and let them know. Let them know. Hearing all that he did, they came to him. People need to hear what Jesus is doing in your life. What he has done that you must share. And if there's really nothing there to share, then I would beg you tonight to come anew to him and experience a change in your life that you must share. Lord Jesus, help us to be faithful in sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.